skies for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us right now on the line from Southern California, Dr. Robert Klink. How are you doing, Bob?
Great, thank you.
And, of course, Dr. Klink talks about the church growth movement and this very cleverly conceived concept, which is not Christian at all. It is put together by a Peter Drucker, who is a market specialist on motivational psychology. And how did you really get interested in the study of the church growth movement and the standard techniques that are being used all across America to change our relationship to one another and to our Lord?
Yes. Back in 1994 and 1995, I was in a church that started to implement Pastor Rick Warren's church growth program. What had happened, I had been in a small church where I was originally saved, and then that church sort of disbanded, and I found myself in this other small Southern Baptist church here in Southern California. And the first church I'd been at, the pastor was very good at expositional teaching, and so very quickly I got a great hunger for the Word of God and the exposition of it. And unfortunately, the pastor at this other Baptist church wasn't quite as gifted that way as far as teaching the Word, but it was okay, it wasn't bad, until he went to one of these conferences where he picked up Rick Warren's process, if you will, and he started to implement it fully in this church. And originally, he just came back from this conference, you know, essentially mesmerized. Just, this is the way Rick Warren does it. This is the way we're going to do it. We're going to take this small church, we're going to build it up, and we're going to put everybody into training classes, 101, 201, 301. We're going to start examining you psychologically and doing spiritual gifts assessments, that they call them, on you to find out where you're gifted at, and then I'm going to decide where I'm going to put you in service. And the word was what was being left by the wayside. And so feeling very manipulated, feeling that the Holy Spirit was moving me to study the word deeper, because he wanted to put me into one of the higher leadership areas of the church. I wasn't qualified. I was a new believer, and I didn't have a very good understanding of the Word, and I was only interested in getting that understanding, and that was what the Holy Spirit was telling me. You need to learn the Word first, and then I'm going to place you into service. But this was all premature, and it was a lot of manipulation, and in spite of numerous urgings for the pastor to get back to expositional teaching and forget Rick Warren, He wouldn't do that. He was implementing the program and putting more and more pressure on me to go into this leadership, and basically telling me that I was not doing God's will if I refused to do what the pastor was telling me to do. So that's what caused me to leave that church. A couple of years later, I ran into Dean Gocher was giving a conference, and he started talking about the Hegelian dialectic process, which is the foundation of Marxism.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought right.
Absolutely.
Here. We're going to be, just pull another station in. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. It's going to determine what the future will bring. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But hold your calls. We have with us Dr. Robert Klenk, who's an orthopedic surgeon, just as I was many years ago. And we're talking about the church growth movement. And Rick, of course, was going, pardon me, Bob was going to a church, a small church. He was in Christian, when the pastor got the idea after attending one of these church growth movements that they were going to, of course, institute this new program into the church, and they were going to get away from doctrine teaching. They were going to have certain courses, 101, 102, or 201 and 301. They were going to find the spiritual gifts of everybody. Everybody was going to get involved in this whole church growth movement, which is all laid out, of course, by people who are not Christians at all. It is a marketing campaign to market Christianity at the expense of the routine doctrine, and it is based upon the concept of getting everybody into small groups where you begin to identify more with the group than with our Lord. And of course, Bob has been studying this for some time, and fortunately, he's able to understand the dynamics and the group dynamics of what's going on. So, of course, he was in this church. They wanted him to take a leadership position. He didn't want a leadership position. He wanted to learn the scriptures. He was just a new Christian. So you left that church and went to another church?
Yes, that's correct.
And what happened there?
That church actually was quite good at expositional teaching. So was studying the word there. And then, like I said, it was about 2 or 3 years later that I went to this conference where Dean Gocher was speaking. And he speaks upon the Hegelian dialectic, which is the philosophy behind Marxism and communism.
And, of course, this is really a mind game, isn't it? How they control your mind and influence your attitudes and policies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at that conference, he very well detailed the philosophy, and he stated that the church growth movement was based upon this philosophy. So having seen, number one, the manipulation that I had been in at the other church, so I had seen one end of it, how it was playing out, now I had the theory behind it, and so that's what put me on the path. Now I had been studying the Word of God for 2 or 3 years, much more grounded then in the Word of God.
Hold on that thought for just a moment. We have one more station to bring on here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Robert Klenk. And so he's talking about, of course, as you begin to study the mechanics of the church growth movement, and this is all laid out like a recipe book. It's used routinely in every church. They have ways of getting rid of people who don't want to go along with it. They, of course, recognize that some of the older people want to stay with the Word of God and the traditional services. So, of course, they give them their services. But the whole theme is to bring in people and then, of course, get them into the small group dynamics. Entertainment, doing away with the strict doctrine, making people feel good about themselves. Certainly never tell anybody they're a sinner saved by grace. Never tell them anything about hell or eternal damnation. But, of course, this is a very successful marketing program, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, there's much more behind it than merely marketing, because the philosophy and where it comes from, it, when you trace it all the way back, it actually just comes directly from the devil. And so it is also a process then which the goal eventually is the complete destruction of faith and the destruction of Christianity and the melding of all the churches into a one-world religion and all of the governments into a one-world government.
But many of the ministers who get into this are wonderful people. They love the Lord. This is just an effective means of getting the church to grow and bringing more people in and hopefully turning them to the Lord. Don't you believe that many of the ministers are very sincere?
Well, I believe they're very sincere. However, a lot of them are very sincerely deceived. And also, at the first, when the pastor who's unsuspecting has a church consultant come in who claims to be a Christian, and unfortunately the unsuspecting pastor doesn't further question them and ask them, well, what do they mean by that? What does Christianity mean to them? And the supposedly Christian consultant then shows a portfolio of all of the churches that he has doubled, tripled, quadrupled in numbers, etc., and all the great buildings that have been built and the missionary work and all of these various things that have taken place. So certainly the pastor immediately, unfortunately, this appeals to his flesh, and he wants to do great things for God, which is true. And again, originally he may have the right intent. However, later on, as the process progresses, and again, the traditionally minded people start to rebel against the process, now the pastor has to start using techniques which are very, very anti-Christian. And at some point, he's got to become accountable to his conscience and accountable to his Lord that it's not a Christian thing to lie about people or turn other people in the congregation against certain people, drive them out of the congregation, or manipulate them with these small groups and the group psychology, forcing them to yield and you know, basically using manipulative processes on them to either get them out or to get them on board with the program.
And now, of course, this is all laid out ahead of time. They're trained in what you do with people. What do they call them? Do they call them dissenters? What do they call them?
Yes, they call it dealing with dissenters. There's a book called Transitioning, Leading Your Church Through Change, and there's an entire chapter devoted to dealing with dissenters.
Now, of course, then we're going to change the churches of America from what they were, and, of course, preaching the gospel and preaching doctrine, and we get away from doctrine and preaching a lot of the, I mean, we take one or two verses out of the Bible and make people feel good about themselves, but you would never want to make anybody feel that they were guilty or that we were sinners, would you?
Right. They will do it occasionally. However, it's usually de-emphasized, and it all depends on the way it's done. In other words, if you read Rick Warren's most recent book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he does mention hell a couple of times. However, he also defines it in the first part of the book, and he says that hell is the eternal separation from God. So to a traditionally minded believer, when he sees a verse that responds to hell, he automatically thinks in his mind, flames, and burning and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, he gets that idea. However, an unbeliever who has no concept of what the Word of God says, he's read the first part of the book, which says eternal separation from God, which sounds kind of like nothingness, and then later on when he reads the word hell, the picture in his mind is it's nothing to fear.
And, of course, this was really the foundation of America at one time. It was laid by a man named Jonathan Edwards, who in a classic sermon called A Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God, he and one or two other ministers turned America completely around in the colonial days, and in 1740 laid the foundation for the American Revolution because you had men who feared God. Does anybody fear God today? Well, no, of course, you know, the worst thing that could happen is that, you know, it just sort of go into nothingness, and that is not what the Bible tells us at all. Men will be called to stand, you know, and for their sins before a holy God. Now, of course, certainly we will be saved if we have a true faith in Christ, but do we have a true faith in Christ when we really don't even believe that he came to save us from sin because we don't really believe in sin anymore?
Right. It's always preached as that he's a God of love, and that's the emphasis. The emphasis is his love, which is very true. Because he loved us, he died on the cross, and he atoned for us sacrificially through the shedding of his blood so that God might execute righteous judgment for mankind's sins. That is the real story of Christ's love. However, this is more of a bloodless type of love that, again, that sin really isn't dealt with. And again, the whole idea of contrition, bending the knee, brokenheartedness, those things are de-emphasized. In fact, recently when in April of this year, when Rick Warren was on James Dobson's show, James Dobson asked him, what about that word repentance? And Warren replied, it doesn't mean turn or burn or you're going to die and fry. It means to change your mind. And so he took completely avoided the whole idea of contrition, brokenheartedness, man's depravity, you know, the fact that, that we in our flesh can do no good and cannot please God, and just completely avoided all of that and just said, all you have to do is change your mind, and when you change your mind, you're saved.
Well, now, of course, what about the group dynamics? Because everything is getting people into the small groups, and this has a specific purpose, doesn't it? As everything that is done, it's all planned ahead of time. None of this is spontaneous. None of this is coming from God. This is a marketing technique to change the outlet of the people in the church and their perception of God.
Absolutely. And again, in that same book, he says that, that relationships have to be the first priority in your life, rather than your relationship with God having to be the first priority in your life.
It's a relationship with the people in the group, so the group really becomes the center of your life.
Absolutely. And the in fact, when they do speak of sin, or people that need to be driven from the church, it's people who are divisive, who are breaking up the unity of the small group. Those are the people that are considered dissenters. However, very often, and the majority of the time in these churches, the people who are dissenting are the people who have an open Bible, and they spot heresy, and then when they read a verse where the Bible tells us a heretic, after one or two admonitions, reject, and to come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Anybody that brings up those types of scriptures is divisive and is breaking up the unity of the body of Christ. But when you have a small group with a mixture of believers and unbelievers, the Bible also tells us what fellowship hath light with darkness. They're calling this fellowship, they call it community, which is a twist on the term koinonia, the Greek word for fellowship. And again, they consider fellowship or community when you have unbelievers in the group. We are not to have communion or fellowship or koinonia with unbelievers. The Bible commands against it. So when anybody who is a traditional, biblically minded person comes in with this idea, they say, you are divisive, you are breaking up the unity, and you then are a sinner.
Well, of course, you know, one of the things that really impresses me is the very casual attitude towards God. I mean, it, you know, ordinarily I'm used to the minister being there in a suit and tie and a white shirt or, you know, a colored shirt if he wants to. But, you know, they've really sort of encouraged people to be very casual coming to church, and the minister dresses casually, you know, for this so that everybody can come in and nobody feels you have to be in the least formal or respectful of the Lord because, after all, this is that they've more or less change the perception of God. This is not a God we look to in reverence and awe. This is just sort of like a buddy that will help us whenever we want him.
That's exactly right. They've elevated themselves much closer to the level of God, and they have brought him down much closer to their level. And in fact, in one of the books out of Willow Creek is another major church in Illinois that is promoting this with its pastor, Bill Hybels. And out of Willow Creek, they have a book called Building a Church of Small Groups, A Place Where Nobody Stands Alone. And in that book, it says that we can enjoy interdependence with God. In other words, that God actually is dependent upon us for some things, which is completely contrary, again, to what the Scripture says.
All right, fine. Well, it's really sort of changing the character of God, changing the method of worship, but of course, bringing people in and getting people in large numbers and then entertaining them and thinking that by their entertainment and just association or osmosis somehow, they're going to, of course, to repent and be changed. But really, of course, there's no brokenness here. There's no, there's really no a traditional Christian experience. We're simply bringing people into the church, and now everybody's going to belong, and everybody's going to be motivated. We're going to just be one big happy family. We'll be right back here. Welcome your calls at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered what
the Vietnamese War was really all about, why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, Allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure Allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure Allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention we do carry the Big Berkey filters. If you're interested in a great water filter and you want to get better tasting water, you want to get the strong chlorine taste out, you want to make sure there's no bacteria and cut back on the herbicides and pesticides and heavy metals and other things that would be in your water. And of course, the Big Berkey has been used by missionaries for, 150 years. It's made of stainless steel. Of course, it's got ceramic filters that the water goes through the ceramic filters. They are impregnated with silver, but you don't get any of the silver in your system. Center packed with activated carbon, and this is a great system. You can actually clean these filters over and over again, and brush the outside, and you can boil them to get rid of the contaminants on the inside. A great, great system. The Big Berkey is $239.95 plus $10 shipping. If you buy it from us, you get a four-tape set or video we produced. But, of course, the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. However, the Berkey Light is available in every state but Iowa, and, of course, it's made of Lexan. It's transparent, so you can actually see the water level. The filters are, we call them Black Berkey filters. They actually work better than the ceramic filters, but they can't be cleaned effectively, and so they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. The Big Berkey's the sort of filter you'd use if you're going to live off in the woods or you're going on a missionary trip. The Berkey Lights, $199, $199.95, and you get these by calling us at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you have access to the internet, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can see the Big Berkey there. You can see the Berkey Light there, and you can read all the information about these excellent, excellent products. If you need to get the fluoride out, there's special post filters that you can get that, of course, will take out the MTBE, the fluoride, and, of course, the arsenic. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Robert Klenk, and he's an orthopedic surgeon, but he's done a great job, and we're actually going to be carrying a great video that he did going to the background and the spiritual background of this, but people don't really understand where these ideas come from. A lot of them come from Robert Schuller, don't they? Of course, Robert Schuller, a good friend of Gorbachev's, and certainly a man who said he would never want to call anybody a sinner.
That is absolutely correct, and I alluded to earlier that the overall goal of this was the merging together of the religions. So I've got a great quote from Robert Schuller that goes right along with this. It's out of his book, My Journey, on page 502. And he says, as I write these words, our hour of power is being broadcast every week from the Crystal Cathedral to a new audience, Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim nation. And I'm dreaming a bold and possible dream that positive-thinking believers in God will rise above the illusions that our sectarian religions have imposed on the world and that leaders of the major faiths will rise above doctrinal idiosyncrasies, choosing not to focus on disagreements, but rather to transcend divisive dogmas to work together to bring peace and prosperity and hope to the world. Far different from the message that Christ would preach, where he would preach to the Muslim and tell the Muslim, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's the message that Christ would be preaching. And then you talk about the spiritual background behind this, and the whole idea of these consensus groups, or these small groups, is the achievement of synthesis, of bringing together right human relations among the members of the group. And here's a quote talking about the spiritual aspect of it. This quote is, synthesis dictates the trend of all the evolutionary processes today. All is working towards larger unified blocks, towards amalgamations, internal relationships, global planning, brotherhood, economic fusion, the free flow of commodities everywhere, interdependence, fellowship of faiths, movements based upon the welfare of humanity as a whole, and ideological concepts which deal with wholes and which militate against division, separation, and isolation. And this is from Alice Bailey's Rays in the Initiations, which were channeled to her through a demon spirit, Joal Kuhl. So this shows really that this movement has spiritual ties to the occult rather than to biblical Christianity.
And of course, I've got something that Theosophists put out, talk about the importance of groups, how the group and the group dynamics will begin to alter the world and alter the individual. And if you can get enough people altered, then of course they will, all these new ideas will come together and create this wonderful new world government, because that's what the occult has always wanted for the last 6,000 years, going back to the Garden of Eden, was a one world government with a ruling oligarchy, and of course the one world ruler, who will be Satan himself. And then the one world church, and everything is fitting into place today. And this sweeping changes within the Catholic Church, within the Protestant Church, as we change the music of the church, as we change the message of the church, and we get away from so stifling old doctrine down to just making everybody feel good.
Right, and that's the whole point is that Schuller makes, is that we're going to set aside doctrinal differences. We're going to set aside doctrine. Doctrine is the whole key to Christianity. I mean, we might as well throw away our Bible if we're not going to have doctrine, because that's what the Bible is all about. It's all about Christ's doctrine and us yielding to it. And if we refuse to yield to it and we rebel against it, we're rebelling against God.
But, of course, isn't this movement sweeping America today, the church growth movement?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Rick Warren has trained over 350,000 pastors and church leaders in this principles. His first book, Purpose Driven Church, sold over 1 million copies. I think Purpose Driven Life has now sold over 4 million copies, and it's been on the top of the New York Times bestseller list. And I think starting on October 11th, they're going to have a simulcast, which is a satellite feed into churches. And they're going to do this 40 Days of Purpose together, starting on October 11th. And what I've heard, the numbers, estimates between 4,000 and 7,000 churches are getting this satellite feed and going to be participating and putting their churches through this whole movement.
But, Bob, don't the churches grow when they do this?
Oh, absolutely. They grow in numbers. I doubt that they grow in believers, or if so, very, very few true, genuine believers.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Klink, and we, of course, will invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you want to get a copy of the video that Bob has, or we have a 4-tape set on the Apostate Church, but you can get the new video that covers everything we're talking about. It will be available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of the other products we carry. One of them, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and of course, we can't make any medical claims for them. We will tell you many people who use them have the most amazing, amazing stories, and but, you know, whether it be acne or skin rashes or all sorts of things really seem to improve dramatically. Using these, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap and a gel and a lotion, and there's a neutralizing solution. It's a very alkaline, a mineralized solution. And, of course, sometimes people say it will help their upper intestinal tract, and some people say it helps the lower intestinal tract. If you'd like to know more about the Miracle 2 Soap products, go to our webpage at radioliberty.com or call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we would certainly hope that you'll want to get an introductory offer. And then, of course, we want to mention the Phenopoly that we carry. Phenopoly is a board game to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read phonetically and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, it's really 5 board games and 2 bonus games played like Monopoly. It's loads of fun. And, of course, people really do feel, really can improve in about 16 hours. You can learn the 40 sounds of the English language, the 12 basic rules of the English language, and I've had people who were 50 and 60 call me and tell me how much they enjoyed the program. They got it for themselves, not for their children. So if you'd like to know more about Phenopoly, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, this is $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books there if you buy the Phenopoly through Radio Liberty. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this evening is Dr. Robert Klenk, and we have a pastor on the line with a question. Pastor, did you have a question for Dr. Klenk?
Yes. I was also troubled by some of the things that Dr. Schuller had at Crystal Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things from Willow Creek with Dr. Hybels too.
Yes.
I actually heard a story where some people were saying, we have a lot of people here, but there's a lot of people that are living together. This is in Willow Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I think his board members were concerned and said that. And so after a while he said, you know, if you're doing this, you're living in sin. The Bible calls that fornication. And a huge chunk of the congregation got up and walked out. That's how many were, you know, just coming in on that. But, and so there wasn't, you know, the challenge to the life going on. However, mm-hmm. I did see a really different message, though, to Rick Warren's. He talks about repentance. He talks about prayer. And it's not just like generic prayer. I do see a huge difference between Rick Warren, what he's doing with the purpose-driven life, as opposed to Willow Creek and Crystal Cathedral. Do you notice any differences there yourself?
Not much difference from Willow Creek. He avoided the terms about contrition and brokenheartedness and everything when he was talking about repentance. He also stated how he picks his message. And he says he looks to his audience, and he says, what are their needs? He says then he goes to their Bible, and he then asks, what does the Bible say about their needs? He then says, he asked himself five other questions. What does, how can I put this in a more encouraging way? How can I put it in a positive way? And, you know, all of this, what's the easiest way to say this, the simplest way to say this, the most encouraging way? And it's all about molding the message to the audience, where the true preacher, the Word of God, goes to God and through prayer says, what do you want me to tell these people today? And then he becomes a messenger of God with his back to the audience. He gets the message from God. He then turns to the audience and just states, God has said this. I'm his mouthpiece. I'm to declare this to you, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, etc.
Well, that's what I do, but I get less than 40 people Sunday morning.
Well, of course, but the thing is, of course, you're not going to have to answer when you stand before the throne of judgment for what you've done. And I really worry about a lot of these, and these are good people. I know some of them, but, you know, this is an expedient thing. This is a technique. This is a marketing technique having nothing to do with Christianity. And, of course, how can you justify a program where you get people out of the church because they don't want to go along with it, because they question what's going on? Everybody has to think exactly the same way and function the same way in this, and, of course, you begin to lose your individuality. Are you concerned about that, Pastor?
I am, and there's a new thing that they're developing for computer safety. It's called SMASH. It means small, many, let's see, something else than self-healing. And the idea is, like a cells, it's better to have many small things, like a submarine. You know, you have chambers and so on. If something goes wrong, it's contained in one section. It doesn't spread. But there are good things on the big churches, too. So you can't, you know,
just
a broad stroke that would say, the only thing, the message is really different from Dr. Schuller and what Rick Warren is saying. And my only thing would be, you know, you might say that maybe one might be leaning a little bit more towards the audience, and yet Jesus did speak the language of the time and talked in a way that they understood. So there's probably, you know, there's a continuum, and I think one is way off on one end and some are maybe more balanced, some are way off on the other.
Okay. Well, I couldn't disagree with you more. Number one, the root of it, number one, he is a student of Schuller, and Schuller describes him as a student who outran his teacher. Secondly, he states that his church was based on three pillars of Peter Drucker, Bob Buford, and Tom Patterson. Peter Drucker is a management specialist who stated in Forbes magazine that the social universe has no natural laws as the physical sciences do. It is thus subject to continual change. Assumptions that were valid yesterday can become invalid and indeed misleading in no time at all. That is a statement that I do not believe in absolute truth in the moral universe. He says the physical universe has moral has laws that don't change. He says the moral universe has no unchanging laws. How can you base a church on somebody that does not have moral absolutes? And Drucker's own graduate school provost calls him a humanist. So he's basing it on humanism. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if you go to Purpose-Driven Life, he quotes from 15 different translations. He even puts a appendix in there explaining why he goes to 15 different translations. And a perfect example of what he gets, what he does, is he quotes the Message. And in the Message, he quotes John 3:36 as saying, "He that has the Son gets in on everything." Okay? And then if you read the rest of that verse, if you go to King James and you read that verse, it says, "He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him." He left that part out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that is not proper biblical exegesis for an unbeliever to be reading. And that is a distinct example. His entire book, if you go through all of his footnotes in that book, there's 1,200 Bible verses that he quotes. And if you actually look at when he quotes half a verse or when he ignores the verse above or below, he completely avoids anything having to do with wrath, pain, punishment, etc.
Mm.
And so anyway,
that is avoided.
Anyway, Pastor, we do have an excellent video that Dr. Klink has put out and making available, and we'll be distributing that. And he'll be speaking. We're going to have a conference in town here 2 days after Thanksgiving out at the Aptos Seascape, and hopefully you'll want to come along and listen to him and perhaps even ask him some questions at that time. Hey,
that'd
look,
great.
Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
That's it. Oh, no, we don't have to be stuck in old King James, do we? Can we use NIV or, you know?
The NIV is certainly it doesn't do justice to a lot of the
American standard. The only concern I have is that in reacting to the error that we go back that you have to only do King James and you have to only dress a certain.
No, I'm not King James
okay,
only.
Good.
No, I my pastor preaches out of the New American Standard.
That's actually the most accurate. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very
Thank
much
you
for
very
calling.
Much.
Right. Bye bye. Okay. Our telephone number is 1-888-24 Liberty or 464-8295. And I think that if you're going to whatever Bible you go to, you ought to use it and use it exclusively. I use the King James just because I like the language of it, and that's what I was brought up with. It. But of course, I share your concern about the NIV, especially when I know that the text is controlled by the ownership that is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who nobody would ever accuse of being Christian. Zondervan publishes that at the present time.
Correct. That's one issue. Another issue is that Rick Warren recommends that you go to other versions and other paraphrases rather than encouraging the listener to go back to the Greek and Hebrew and try to search out the original intent of the scripture. He's taking you one step away from the truth rather than one step closer to it.
And I think just to get to one Bible and use that Bible and use it exclusively. But when you start getting all sorts of different interpretations of the scriptures, and then of course you're dealing with new Christians, you say this is the Word of God, but how do you have the Word of God when you've got all these different interpretations, and some of them put in verses and some of them leave out verses, and we got real problems today.
Yeah, definitely so, and actually Martin Luther even discussed that and stated that people should stick with one translation.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now you, of course, go into the occult background of some of the ideas that are already manifested in the church growth movement. And
yes.
One of these, of course, is this idea of the small groups. Do you want to develop that?
Certainly. Yes. The whole idea of the small groups is, again, this is where the Hegelian dialectic comes in. And when you join Saddleback Church, you have to sign a covenant, and this covenant states that you will participate in small groups, and another covenant is that you will protect the unity of Saddleback Church. Now, the small groups, again, as I talked about before, are mixtures of believers with unbelievers, and the church actually was designed for the believers, for the edifying of the saints and the building up of the faithful. So it's for believers. But they are bringing in the unbeliever, and the reason is that this whole Hegelian dialectic process, it runs on five main parts to it. It's a diverse group of people, so that's why you have to mix in the unbelievers. You have to have a diverse group. If you have a unified group, all grounded in faith, all assenting that the Word of God is the fact, you have common faith in that room, and you don't have divisiveness or division. So you bring in believers plus unbelievers, you mix them together into the small group. That's the diverse group of people. They dialogue to consensus over a social issue in a facilitated meeting to a predetermined outcome. Those are the five things. So the diverse group is facilitated. The social issue generally is a Bible study, and the predetermined outcome is the attainment of synthesis, this whole unity. And in fact, again, going back to Alice Bailey and the occult, it calls the divine project right human relations. And that's what this is all about. It's all about attaining right human relations. How this actually works, how it plays out, rather than a didactic Bible study where a teacher brings in a verse or a passage and then goes to exegete it and deliver it to the people, and then ask them questions at the end, and if they ask questions, he goes back to the Bible as the source of the answer. he is claiming the authority of the scriptures. As opposed to that, what a facilitator does is a facilitator comes in with a couple of Bible verses, and then he goes around the room, and again, this mixed multitude of people generally have a bunch of different versions as well, adding to the confusion. And then one will quote from King James, another from NIV, another one from the Living Bible or the Message or whatever. And then the facilitator will say, gee, you know, the King James sounded harsh on this issue. That was very judgmental and very harsh. God is a harsh God. Whereas the NIV and the Message, those are much softer. And so, you know, maybe those are even too soft. And so the truth is probably somewhere in between. And everybody agrees, oh, yeah, that's probably it. The truth probably is somewhere in between. And then everybody feels good. They all kind of participated in the decision. And the only unfortunate thing is that the Word of God was the only thing that was sacrificed. Human relationship became key and was actually elevated then above the standard of the Word of God. Rather than the message being a message where this is what God states, you must yield to it and obey it. This is what happens in my church every Sunday, is I am preached to where I am told what my marching orders are. This is what God demands of you. This is what the way he wants you to act. This is, you know, you're to go unquestioningly not question the authority of the Word of God. You are to always bow and obey it. And, of course, every single day we realize how far short we fall, and we beg for repentance on a daily basis, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the strength to live closer and closer to that biblical standard. And, of course, as we build in the faith and the knowledge of it, we are built up and mature in the faith.
All right, let's go to Eddie, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Eddie. Have a question or comment?
I have a question. I'm just fascinated with and what...
Oh, is it Edie? Is Edie?
Edie, right.
Oh, fine. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just fascinated with what your guest is saying, and I agree with him. My church is a small Episcopal church. I come from studying the King James Bible by myself from cover to cover, beginning when I was 12 years old. So, of course, my point of reference is always going back there. But we started with a new minister and with the idea of building up our church. And the first book we read was Moving Off the Map by Thomas Bandy. And then they went to the purpose-driven church. Well, about the time we got finished with Moving Off the Map, I came down with shingles. So, of course, I was home for a while, and I missed Moving Off the Map. But this business of not observing the scriptures has caused a problem in my personal life because I'm disabled, I'm retired now, but with a disability because of severe chronic all-the-time migraine headaches. And my significant other has a disability, and because of the laws of the state of California, we are not allowed to be married or we will lose our benefits. And I'm having a lot of trouble balancing that with my beliefs of what Jesus taught about that.
Well, it's a tragic situation, the way that the society is set up to actually discourage marriage and following through with God's laws. But that's why they have a marriage tax, and they don't want people to be married, and that's why they do these things. And you think of their actions? No, they know exactly what they're doing. Hey, we're out of time, Edie.
Okay.
Yeah, were you saying that, alluding that your partner is a same-sex partner?
No. Mm-mm. We're a woman and man, and we're older. I'm retired. He's younger than I am. We've been together for 20 years.
I ought to give some serious thought to a marriage. But anyway, we're out of time. You're going to have to decide on that yourself. But it's a tragic situation. But I mean, what's most important, obeying God's law or man's law?
God's the law to me.
Amen to that. God bless you. Thanks so much. And Bob, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
I guess the parting thought, number one, is that you need to recognize this when this comes into your church. It's coming into every church. And secondly, there's no scripture supporting staying in a church that is going into this. So the first thing that you do, if it begins, is that you fight it. And if you lose, then you must leave, because the Bible talks about biblical separation and coming out from among them. And you have to really fight and struggle with that, because you want to have human relationship and you don't want to lose your friends. But again, obeying God and His commands is more important sometimes than what we want to satisfy with our flesh.
We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us, Bob. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
Fascinating hour. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tape.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, a couple of things I want to mention to you. One of them, of course, would be the video, the Iraq, the Untold Story, and you can get that by itself or with the syllabus. The syllabus, of course, is extra, but you get a discounted price if you buy it with the video. And we'll give you the background of all of the wars of the last century, and then, of course, the real reason why we're in Iraq today. There are no weapons of mass destruction. Of course, there are, some people say we went there for the oil. Some people say that we went there to defend our currency. Some people will say they went there to protect Israel. But none of those is the real reason that we went there. And, of course, we explained to you what the real reason, the real motivation behind this, and they've lied to the American people. But why should you be surprised? There is a pattern of lying to the American people and then saying, oh, well, it wasn't important anyway. And then, of course, we distract them with other things. So the Iraq, the Untold Story, must watching, and, of course, the syllabus gives you all the documentation for the video. And then, of course, we have video special. You can get any 5 of the videos we produce for $69.95, and we pay the postage. It's a good deal for you, and, of course, it helps us to get the information out. And then, of course, we have all sorts of 4-tape sets on the secret government, 4-tape set on secret societies, 4-tape sets on the Kennedy assassination, on Vietnam, the untold stories, the boys we left behind, one man came back. Interviews you'll never hear elsewhere. And so if you'd like to get information from Radio Liberty, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like information on what Dr. Klink was talking about, we have a 4-tape set on the apostate church. And then, of course, we'll be having a new video very, very soon. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you in the listening audience who believe in what we're doing to help us, if you can. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you got our 4 best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours every day. starting at 7 in the morning and ending at 10 o'clock at night as we reach out across America trying to get people to understand we're involved in this spiritual battle and the church is under attack. Today, the Catholic Church has been pretty well destroyed, and believe me, the same forces are working in the Protestant Church because, of course, this is a conspiracy against God. That's what it's all about. It's always been there, and, of course, its ultimate goal is the destruction of Christianity and Judaism, the establishment of a new world religion, and, of course, a new world order. And then, of course, we hope many of you, if you'd like to get a free copy of our September newsletter, which will tell you what really happened on the morning of September 11th, why, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. Of course, we really hope that you'll want to subscribe to our newsletter, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter and a catalog. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope many of you will want to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can hear our programs 5 hours a day live, where you can listen to many of our archive programs, Radio Liberty programs. And then, of course, you can pull down our newsletter. You can see the things that we've written. And, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our radio programs. We hope you'll tell others about our website at radioliberty.com. We hope that you'll call your local radio station and say, why don't you carry Dr. Stan? You can get him on 5 hours a day, and it's not going to cost you anything to put him on. And, of course, we guarantee you we'll always do our best to provide informative and insightful commentary. So many times radio stations will pull us down just because they appreciate the message that we have. As we begin to bring the historical and the geopolitical and the spiritual together, and then if you're out there in the listening audience and you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. And, of course, you can get the book by itself or you can get the video by itself for $19.95. The book is $12.95. The audio tape is $6 or $7, but you can get them all together for $29.95. Call the Brotherhood of Darkness special. It's the book, the video, and the audio tape available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and it will tell you the true story of what really happened during all of the wars of the last century, because every single one of them was contrived and, of course, prolonged. And, of course, the Second World War was prolonged for years. It could have been settled. The Germans kept trying to surrender. Do you know that the Japanese tried 5 times over 7 months to surrender? The invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa and dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were totally unnecessary. If you'd like the article out of the Chicago Tribune in the 1945, the day that the peace treaty was signed, just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'd be glad to send you a copy of that article. And the same article appeared in the Los Angeles Times that day, telling about how the Japanese had tried and tried and tried to surrender, and we wouldn't let him. And I know it's true because I talked to General Albert Wedemeyer, and he told me that intercepted the messages and, of course, passed them on to Washington, D.C. But you see, there were people who had a different agenda. They wanted as much death and horror as possible. And you say, why would anybody want that? Because we're dealing against organized evil, and it's working at every level of our society today. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders and for our ministers, but please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. America,